The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
You know, on Friday, I never know where you are when you call in.
Oh, yes, you do. I'm on the other end of the telephone line.
Okay.
Always.
Well, we started off this week posing the question, why do you go to your doctor? And, you know, I think on the surface, you know, the answer would be obvious. I go to my doctor to get better, or I go to my doctor because I have a complaint and he's going to fix it. And I pointed out that the top three causes of illness have been in the top three for the last 80 years. That's cancer, heart disease, and stroke, with heart disease being number one. So I questioned, or I pointed out that obviously something is missing from the equation in order to get to really get better if we haven't been able to change why people die. I wonder if old age will ever make it to the top 10 causes of death. And they really should have that as a criteria, because I think it's kind of misleading. You know, you put down heart disease as a cause of death, and the guy is 100 years old when he dies. You know, I think they should have a category, old age, and that would put some perspective in everything. On the other hand, you have people dying in their 50s and 60s, say, from heart disease or cancer. I think it has a different connotation when, you know, someone dies in their 50s or 60s versus their 80s or 90s.
Okay, and Dr. Slavin, what about when people don't necessarily have any symptoms of coronary artery disease and they're, say, 42 years old and they go to the gym and on their way home, their heart stops?
I think that you bring out one of the problems with healthcare, the way it's practiced in our country, because it's all starts off with going to the doctor with a complaint. And as you just pointed out, cardiovascular disease could be totally asymptomatic, and the first sign of a problem could be sudden death. So why aren't we picking up on this? What doctors do is, well, they measure cholesterol levels because they think that's the real cause of cardiovascular disease, and putting people on statin drugs, and doesn't seem to be making a difference. And so the real question is, what do you do? I would think, if I had to choose one test to identify people perhaps who might be at increased risk of cardiovascular disease, let's say symptomatic cardiovascular disease, it would be the calcium score. If you wanted to test, the calcium score is done with a CAT scan, and it measures calcifications in the coronary arteries, and that correlates with the amount of plaque. So if you have more plaque than expected for your age, you know that you're on the road to more problems. So I think that would be the one test. Now, clearly, there are other tests that could be done, but they don't directly look at the coronary arteries. You could do you could do tests on inflammation. You could do tests on fasting insulin levels and blood sugar levels. But the calcium score is the one that directly looks at the coronary arteries. Now let's contrast that test with a stress test. You could clearly people think, well, if I pass the stress test, I'm okay. No, because to fail a stress test, you need to have significant blockages, usually around 70%. So the reason stress tests are done, well, for two reasons. One is if you have chest pain, the stress test is done to differentiate the cause of the pain. In other words, if you have chest pain and you pass the stress test, the likelihood is the pain is not coming from cardiovascular disease. But the point is, you can still have cardiovascular disease and pass a stress test. That's why looking at the calcium score is a really, it's a way of looking or identifying people at a much earlier stage of a problem when they have time to make the lifestyle changes that are necessary to prevent a progression of the disease. On the other hand,
Dr. Slavin, what about people who have a dry, chronic, non-productive cough? Is that ever related to the development of coronary artery disease or extreme pressure on heart function?
Well, it's been reported, of course, that you could have a cough from congestive heart failure. And I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to. Otherwise, I mean, there are a lot of reasons for what you're saying is having a cough that's not an infection.
Infection. Right. It's always there. There is, it doesn't involve any kind of mucus or any production of anything to expectorate. But it's always there. And your lungs check out very, very well. All of the different things that you would look at to investigate the source of a cough, all of those check out very, very well, and still the cough goes on.
It could be a side effect of taking a drug. Drugs.
So many blood pressure lowering drugs do have that as a side effect, and so that is an issue. So here, once again, just as you've said so many times, here's the symptom being presented, a drug that's being given to lower blood pressure creates the symptom, but underlying both the blood pressure and the cough is an issue with the heart that goes unrecognized.
Okay, well, all right. Let's say someone presents to the doctor with a chronic cough. The doctor initially, let's wait a while. You should wait at least a week or two before you start getting into the expensive evaluations of a cough. But clearly you have to determine what's causing a cough if it persists. Now, it could be allergies, could be a side effect of a drug. But if you want to rule out whether that cough might be related to cardiovascular disease, you probably would start off with a chest X-ray. You could see if there's any heart issues. It depends on the age of the person. I think you would address the significance of a cough differently in a 70-year-old versus a 20-year-old. So, everybody is a little bit different. And of course, you there's a saying in medicine, when you hear hoofbeats, think of horses, not zebras. The most common things are the most common. So you have to really go down the list of, you know, what are the common causes before you get into the less common. But I wanted to point out, so we were talking about the top three killers of Americans being heart disease, cancer, and stroke, and, you know, nothing's changed in the last 80 years. You know, prior to that, by the way, you know, heart disease and cancer were not even in the top three. I think number four was heart disease. Now, you had infectious disease killing people at the top of the list, and we made improvements there, not because of antibiotics so much, but because of better nutrition and better sanitation. So you go to your doctor, he'll do tests, he'll do a cholesterol level, and he is, and then, you know, I've asked patients, I don't know if you've had this with your clients, Janet, I've asked patients, why do you take a statin drug? And they would, you know, immediately say, of course, I'm taking it to lower my cholesterol. So my follow-up question would be, why do you want to lower your cholesterol? And that usually stumps them a little bit. What?
I play that question and answer very, very often, and refer the clients that are talking to me about a whole host of symptoms that may very well be connected to their use of a cholesterol-lowering drug. I refer them to a number of different websites so that they can read what the research is and find out for themselves that the truth of the matter is elevated cholesterol, or elevated according to what the standards are in current medical use today, that they don't take into account a person's age, a person's level of activity, a person's diet, and don't necessarily totally relate exclusively to risk of coronary artery disease.
Now, I think we're all familiar with the side effects associated with taking statins, like liver damage and kidney failure due to rhabdomyolysis. That's the breakdown of muscle tissue that might occur. We've talked about the cognitive dysfunction, you know, things like memory loss, forgetfulness, amnesia that might be associated with it. Of course, heart failure, you know, because of its, one of the reasons probably is because it blocks the production of coenzyme Q10, which is necessary for muscle health. But when the statins were first released, in other words, first approved by the FDA, it didn't come with any warning regarding type 2 diabetes. And some of the statistics in this context with type 2 diabetes and the use of statin drugs indicate that diabetes contributes to more than 230,000 American deaths every year. And part of that risk of diabetes can be put back onto taking statin drugs. I wonder, you know, I think the statistic was maybe one out of four Americans are on a statin drug. We'll talk about this a little bit more after the break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about what's going on with healthcare today, since we don't seem to be making changes in what we die from. Heart disease being number one, cancer number two, stroke number three, despite the fact that, I guess more and more Americans must be going to doctors, because in this country, we take more prescription drugs than the rest of the world combined. So somebody's going to the doctor, because that's what they do. They prescribe medication. You know, you remember we've talked about this before. I had on this show Dr. James Wilson. That name may be familiar to some of the people. He wrote the book Adrenal Fatigue. And we're going back probably 10, 15 years ago when I had him on the show. And we were talking about healthcare providers, and he was saying it's a shame that people, and it's, maybe it's changing a little bit, but people primarily think of healthcare providers as being doctors, MDs, DOs, but there are a lot of other types of healthcare practitioners, chiropractors, people that do reflexology,
nutritional counseling.
Okay, I don't know. Do they allow you to call yourself a healthcare provider? You know, you can't say anything about health pretty soon, right?
I am a licensed healthcare provider. Yes, and I have a government designation that characterizes me as such for certain insurance purposes. Yes.
All right, because, you know, we've talked outside the radio show how they want to make a distinction. They want to preclude healthcare providers from talking about diabetes unless they get a separate certification for diabetes.
Right? That is legislation that I believe is still pending before the Florida legislature, and that would affect only the state of Florida, that you must be a certified diabetes educator before you can speak at all about prevention or diet with regard to diabetes.
All right. I'm going to go on record as saying that nutritionists, and I'm making a distinction between nutritionists and dietitians, but nutritionists, because they know how to recommend a healthy eating lifestyle, is probably the most important thing people need to learn about for their health. So, but the other healthcare providers, we have those that do homeopathy and herbalists, and you can think of a whole list of healthcare providers. And then the observation I made when I was having this discussion with him was, isn't it interesting how their title pretty much tells you what they do? You know, and you don't have to guess what an herbalist does or a homeopath does. But then you go to a doctor and you say, okay, you think a doctor is going to have all the answers for health, because after all, he's a doctor. But, you know, we pointed out doctors in mainstream medicine, because mainstream medicine allows them to only do one of three things: either prescribe drugs, do surgery or treat cancer. And, of course, cancer is chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. So that's mainstream medicine. So I said, you know, a better term for the majority of doctors who prescribe drugs, because most doctors aren't surgeons or oncologists, would be prescriptionist. You know, so if you went to a prescriptionist, you knew this is what their area of expertise is, prescribing drugs. And I think that would put everything into better context than just say, I'm going to the doctor thinking, well, he's going to make me well. Well, you know, his armamentarium is drugs. You know, that's what you have to realize. So we were talking about statins and some of the dangers. And I think the probably the biggest danger is the fact that it increases the risk of developing adult onset or type 2 diabetes, which is the non-insulin dependent diabetes. And therefore, I think Jan and I are in agreement. We don't like the use of statin drugs because it's not really addressing the problem. You know, we said the other day, if you roll back the odometer on your car back to zero, that doesn't mean your car is new. The same thing with drugs. If you change a number with the drugs, that doesn't mean you're healthy now. So what statins do, they affect you in several ways. Number one is they increase insulin resistance. And that's probably the main reason why you develop diabetes. Insulin resistance means you have to put out more insulin to control your blood sugar. And your blood sugar goes up if you can't keep up with the demand for insulin production, because now you need more and more insulin to control the blood sugar, and your body can't handle that, and the blood sugar goes up. Now, here's the thing. Diabetics are at increased risk for heart attacks, cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's disease. So you have to really think twice. And this is really something you can think about with every medication. Do you want to treat a number on a test, or do you want to really address the underlying cause of the problem? But then before I tell you, you know, we've talked about how you address the underlying cause, just want to tell you how the drug companies, not just convincing the public, because I think the public is a lot easier to convince them, the physicians, but how do they convince physicians to prescribe statin drugs? So when it comes to the studies they do, there are two different ways of looking at results, relative risk and absolute risk. And what relative risk means, you compare one group of people to another group of people, rather than evaluating how each individual responds to a particular treatment. So this is how statin researchers are able to claim that statins benefit 30 to 50% of the population, and that's the relative risk. But if you look at the absolute risk, it's only about 1% benefit. Here's an example. In the Jupiter trial, and they always come up with these interesting names, the Jupiter trial, the public and healthcare workers were informed of a 54% reduction in heart attacks when the actual effect in reduction of coronary events was less than 1%. Another example, and this was, I think, part of the a trial that had to do with Crestor. Another trial or study called the Ascot study, which they stopped early because it was considered to have such outstanding results. There were heart attacks and deaths in 3% of the placebo, in other words, the no treatment group, compared to 1.9% in the Lipitor group. But this is how they interpreted it. The improvement in outcome with Lipitor treatment was only 1.1 percentage point better than the placebo group, but when the study was presented to the public, the advertisements used the inflated relative risk, which transformed the 1.1% benefit into a 36% reduction in heart attack risk. And there's a book out, by the way, written by Uwe Ravznikov called Cholesterol Myths, where he looked at all the studies that have been done over the years regarding cholesterol. And he makes the reader understand how they can come up with these types of statistics, because they only report half the study. In other words, if half the people with high cholesterol develop heart disease, that's the part they focused on. They ignored the other 50% of the people with high cholesterol that didn't get heart disease. So if you have 50% of the people with normal cholesterol levels, let's say getting heart disease, so because you have a lot of people getting heart disease, cholesterol levels are normal. You have people with high cholesterol not getting heart disease. Clearly, mainstream medicine is looking in the wrong direction when it comes to heart disease. But this is how they market the drug, because statins are very effective in lowering cholesterol levels. They're just not that effective in reducing your risk of heart disease.
And Dr. Slavin, wouldn't you you could essentially apply a lot of what you're discussing to almost any diagnosis that is, any mainstream diagnosis that's made. On Saturday, you and I are doing a presentation at Green Planet Fest at the Broward Convention Center, and the title of what we'll be discussing is Prevention of Breast Cancer. And certainly, as a means of preventing breast cancer, one has to understand what are the risk factors. And what's very, very interesting is when you start to evaluate the genetic part of breast cancer risk, it's very, very interesting, because that has received a lot of attention. There are women who have gone out and had prophylactic mastectomies because it was determined that they did have the BRCA1, BRCA2 gene anomaly. And the truth of the matter is, it seems that I don't remember the exact percentage now, I don't have the figures in front of me, but it seems to me that a very, very high percentage of those women carrying the genetic predisposition for developing breast cancer don't get breast cancer. So nutrient status, lifestyle, just a variety of different choice aspects with regard to living your life makes the difference between developing breast cancer and not developing breast cancer, even though you're genetically predisposed to it. Very, very interesting to me that the mainstream medical reports and investigations into this say they don't have any understanding about why some women with a genetic predisposition deal with breast cancer, and many higher percentages of those women with that genetic predisposition don't ever develop breast cancer. And it, to a certain extent, is very, very similar with regard to coronary artery disease. There might be a genetic predisposition to it, but with the use of things like coenzyme Q10, omega-3 fatty acids, the correct vitamin E, garlic as an example, exercise, avoiding certain contaminated food products, that translates into very significant protection against ever developing any kind of an event that signals coronary artery disease. So you think that mainstream medicine, they're just very much lumping people and disregarding completely the role that diet and lifestyle plays.
All right, Janet, I don't know if you can hear that music, but it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We were talking about, I guess we got a little sidetracked talking about genetics and cancer. There's a new...
Well, mostly what I was talking about is how doctors tend to make certain conclusions that totally ignore diet and lifestyle.
Well,
they do it in heart disease, they do it in cancer, they do it in diabetes, they do it from a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different diagnoses.
Well, I think a better way to understand all this is the mainstream medicine, and unfortunately includes doctors, because, you know, drug companies have their own... sales representatives, but the biggest sales force for the drug companies are doctors. They're the ones that write the prescriptions. So the doctors have to be convinced that that's the way to go, and that convincing begins in medical school. I mean, because in medical school, you know, everything turns out to be a drug deficiency, and that's how you cure everything. But statistics don't show that. People are taking more drugs in this country than anywhere else in the world, and yet we don't have the good health to show for it. So you have to understand it. You just have to think of things as what makes money and what doesn't. And since the drug companies control the medical school curriculums and what goes on after medical school, then it begins to make sense that everything is geared toward prescribing drugs. If you notice,
for the patients, what they need to be thinking about is what creates good health. And we're establishing here with our conversation on Natural Doc Radio that indeed taking a pharmaceutical does not necessarily translate to eliminating the disease. It does cover up the symptom, nor does it translate into achieving good health. And so the doctors are learning to be prescriptionists in medical school, and the patients here in South Florida are learning to be healthy individuals by making informed choices.
Well, that's the whole point. So what we're trying to uncover when we, first of all, when we say, you know, everybody's going to doctors, getting lots of medications, but heart disease, cancer, and stroke are still the top three killers in for the last 80 years, is to fill in the gaps that need to be addressed to, in order to make a difference in that. And a report just came out, and this was a response to a petition filed by the Natural Resources Defense Council and the Environmental Working Group and other environmental groups as well, that the FDA has announced that it will ban a variety of toxic food packaging chemicals, which just also happen to be cancer-causing, you know, as well, and also some food flavoring chemicals that they had previously approved. Now, how could that be? How could they have approved something that could cause cancer? So the answer, again, it's you know, follow the money, you know, see who's, you know, where these products are coming from, and then you understand that the FDA is not an independent entity. Obviously, they're influenced by a lot of factors. So what they're actually banning now, we talked about food packaging chemicals, they're banning all perfluorinated compounds, otherwise known as PFCs, in the food packaging. What they, you know, they use as a coating on packaging, typically like takeout food containers, nonstick cookware, and pizza boxes. So they're banning the PFCs because there's been an association with it causing cancer, neurological problems, hormone imbalances, and other serious problems. So what's taking them so long? But here's the interesting point here. Okay, they're acknowledging that fluoride is a risky substance, can cause cancer, neurological problems, hormone imbalance, other serious health problems. But they're not going to recommend the removal of fluoride from water. Kind of a double standard here. You know, this is the problem, too. These inconsistencies, you know, make these agencies lose credibility. You know, it's like saying mercury is a biohazardous waste product because you have to dispose of it in a certain way. But the minute we put it in your mouth in the form of a dental filling, it becomes perfectly safe. You know, it's these inconsistencies that don't make sense. And now another thing they're saying here, the FDA is also amending a food additive regulation to no longer provide for the use of three specific fluoride-containing food contact substances as oil and water repellents. So these things, again, used in, on paper and paperboard, if they come in contact with water or fatty foods, because there's new data showing the toxicity of these substances. But when you put the fluoride into the water, I guess it becomes perfectly safe. I think that we have to be aware again that the fluoride is a substance that needs to be avoided. You know, there is, by the way, there is no proof that fluoride actually prevents dental caries, because you find in certain areas, despite the fact that the water is fluoridated, the incidence of dental caries is still high. And when you go to other comparable locations without fluoridated water, you don't see any difference in the degree of dental caries. So that's been something, I think, where the public has been misled about that. So if
Dr. Slavin, what kind of a connection do you think there might be when there is highly chlorinated water, fluoridated water, and the dysfunctional metabolism of calcium in the body, ultimately depositing calcium in soft tissue, primarily coronary arteries, carotid arteries, soft tissue of the joints, contributing to arthritis. So do you think there's any connection with, first of all of that inflammation, and then the inability of the body to properly process calcium?
Absolutely. But it's not like a direct cause and effect. The fluoride, increased exposure to fluoride, disrupts a lot of functions in the body. And that leads to the other problems. But fluoride, for example, will affect your thyroid function. It's going to interfere with the absorption of other nutrients. And when you start looking at all these factors, you can see why the use of fluoride has been associated with increased risk of certain types of cancers, definitely been associated with infertility. It affects the immune system, lowers the IQ in children, and that's important. We know that, and it may be that that effect of fluoride may be a direct result of affecting thyroid function, because low thyroid function is associated with lowered IQ. And, of course, the increased tumor and cancer rate in fluoride. Now, here's what we're being told constantly that it's very important to have fluoride added to the water. But if you look to Europe, 97% of the population there drinks non-fluoridated water because they're not adding it to the water. In countries who add fluoride to the water, they do not have less tooth decay than countries that do not fluoridate the water. And that's according to the World Health Organization. There is absolutely no discernible difference in tooth decay between developed countries that fluoridate their water and those that do not. So now the question is, what other reason could they have? Because that's the reason we've been told. Oh, you have to prevent tooth decay, put the fluoride in the water. So the decline in tooth decay in the U.S. That has occurred over the last 60 years, which is often attributed to the fluoridated water, can no longer be used as the reason, because, as I just said, the countries that don't fluoridate the water are showing the same improvement. And you mentioned, the fluoride affects many tissues in your body, not just your teeth. And I think that's where the problems begin. It affects your bones, your brain, your thyroid, the pineal gland, your blood sugar levels. And there are at least 42 human studies that have linked fluoride exposure with reduced intelligence. And 100 animal studies have shown fluoride exposure can cause brain damage. So we see this epidemic of Alzheimer's. Maybe fluoride is playing a role there, too. Now, you...
Well, my view is, you think about all of the people, let's say from the age of 50 on, who are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, drinking fluoridated water, not necessarily having their hormones tested and being aware of things that disrupt hormone function. So this is literally a pathway to losing brain function.
So this continues again, and why do they do it? It's all about your money. When we come back, I want to, talk about how you have to avoid fluoride, and the problem is we can't avoid it all. Even if you stop drinking fluoridated water, if you filter the water in your home, not all filters take out fluoride. You have to almost go to either distillation or reverse osmosis. But even if you do that, all the food you're eating pretty much has been exposed to fluoride as well in the water. So we'll talk about some strategies to correct that as well. But now it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more. Or visit amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we were talking about the dangers of fluoridation and the fact that the United States is probably only, let's say, civilized country still fluoridating their water as opposed to most of Europe, for example. And why did this happen? I think it goes back to the 1940s when the politicians were fooled into thinking that fluoride would be a public health benefit. And they were sold on the idea that adding fluoride to the water would be a good idea. But the reason they were sold is that the industries that create fluoride as a waste product needed a place to dispose of it. So this was their approach. So,
and the truth of the matter is the fluoride that is used in municipal water systems is bears very little resemblance to naturally occurring fluoride when you take a look at fluoride that is in water coming out of the ground. Chemical composition is very, very different than the fluoride that is added to the water systems.
Right. Well, I think we're seeing this over and over again. And here's something that was written. It says the wide-scale U.S. acceptance of fluoride-related compounds in drinking water and a wide variety of consumer products over the past 50 years is a textbook case of social engineering orchestrated by Sigmund Freud's nephew and the father of public relations. In other words, they know how to manipulate thought in the public through repeating the same thing over and over again and recommending the benefits. Now, if you were to Google fluoride, you would probably find just as many sites saying fluoride is perfectly safe in the drinking water as compared to how many sites that say fluoride is a danger. Now, I think any logical person would say if there's any doubt that fluoride might be dangerous, you should avoid it until we have the studies to back it up one way or the other. Now, even though there are observational studies showing the effects of fluoride on people, you know, they don't want to accept those observations. We have studies in laboratory animals showing an increased rate of cancer, but they don't want to accept that. But I think when there's any doubt as to whether something is safe or not, you avoid it. Just like we go down the list of things. Now, the interesting thing is there is absolutely no doubt that drugs have serious adverse side effects. And sometimes the risk of the adverse side effects from drugs clearly outweigh the benefits you might derive from them. And yet the drugs are continually recommended and prescribed. So I just want to go on to one last piece regarding fluoride, because there was a mention that consuming fluoride can also affect your cardiovascular system. And I don't know how familiar people are with that possibility. But there was a study done looking at people with skeletal fluorosis. That's the effect of fluoride on bones. And they saw a connection with abnormal cardiac function. And that was documented by the electrocardiograms. The results show that fluoride in drinking water consumed over time is harmful not only to bones and teeth, but to the cardiovascular system. And yet nothing is being done about fluoride being added to the water like it has been in Europe. So we've mentioned over and over again, you know, cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death. Perhaps I mentioned, you know, we're trying to fill in the gaps why, despite all the drugs being prescribed, cardiovascular disease remains the number one cause of death. And maybe this is just one piece of the puzzle there, that the fluoride that we're all being exposed to might be playing a role. Over 27 million adults are diagnosed with heart disease, and around 600,000 adults died of heart disease in 1 year, 2010. And, of course, there are a lot of factors involved. You know, your genetics plays a role. Lifestyle choices probably play the major role, but you also have the environmental pollutants that we're exposed to. So you have to know that the fluoride is one of those environmental pollutants. Now, here's another one that you might think about. Individuals with high blood pressure may also be linked to a fluoride exposure. And we know that high blood pressure also increases the risk of other heart issues, stroke, heart attack, heart failure, aneurysms. So I think that the risks of exposure to fluoride is definitely being underestimated, because if it was really taken into account, it would be removed from the water. On the other hand, think about how much money is being made by treating cardiovascular disease. And I think this is maybe the explanation why nothing is changing in this country with regard to fluoride being added to the water. So I can only think of maybe one other thing, Janet, that people can do besides avoiding fluoridated water, you know, by using purified water. And that is to make sure their consumption of iodine is adequate. Because if you have enough iodine, it will block the incorporation of fluoride into your tissues. On the other hand, if you're lacking in iodine, and iodine, as you remember, is necessary for many functions in the body, not the least of which is thyroid function, then fluoride will displace the iodine. So I would think that taking iodine might help keep the fluoride down to a minimum level. So those are the two things I can think of, Jan. Anything else?
The iodine issue is of critical importance, because I'm going to say so many people, unfortunately, may very well be certainly deficient if they were to measure their iodine levels. And some of the other trace minerals that are important, selenium, very important, need to be aware of a reasonably supported level of selenium. Dr. Slavin, might you suggest potassium iodide over kelp as a reasonable way to support your iodine levels?
Well, you know, that's the supplement. Iodine supplements are usually potassium iodide, but I like all forms, and they say that in Japan, where they have a high intake of seafood and sea vegetables, their intake of iodine is a lot. I don't know if the American diet is ever going to change to a higher intake of seafood and sea vegetables. So, taking a iodine supplement may be recommended. But I think, Janet, at the end of the day, it comes down to testing just to see if we have adequate levels of all these nutrients. You know, not just vitamins, but minerals are extremely important.
I'm standing in Greenlands in Delray, 2000 North Federal Highway, in front of a display of nori and arame and dulse and kelp, all kinds of very, very high-quality seaweed choices here. And I'll be here at Greenlands from 12 to 2 to answer questions.
For example, how do you use them?
And I have many, many good ideas.
All right. I think that's important. It's probably pretty easy to add it to whatever you're eating right now just to enhance the nutrient quality of the foods you have. I'd like to thank all our listeners. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.